Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Right, listen, get your Bibles out. And because we're, I've been setting up this series in the book of Luke, and we're going to start to get into it today. And one of the things I'm going to say is that Jesus never comes to give you demands this morning. So if you're, whatever's going on in your world today, whatever's going on in your life today, whatever you've brought into this room or whatever you're sitting with in your online world there, wherever you may be. And I want to say that it's only the law that demands of you, but grace says, I'm here to supply for you. And so I want you to take a big deep breath as we start to get into the meat of this series in Luke, because anytime you're in the presence of Jesus, anytime people encounter Jesus, he never made things worse. Do you get that? He never came along and said, all right, so what's the problem? Or he encountered people and went, here, you're sick. Well, no, you're really sick, all right? In fact, if you're sick, I'm going to make you guilty and sick. What about that? Boom, two for the price of one, on your way and be blessed. Praise Jesus. He never did that, did he? Some of you aren't sure. Here's my suggestion. Read your Bible, right? It's this book. It's got loads of really good stuff in it about Jesus, right? And I'm telling you, it'll change your life. There's Andy's helpful suggestion number one today. All right, because if you're sitting there going, did he do that or not? Actually, I don't actually know. Did he make people feel guilty? You have probably got some work to do, all right? But if you go to the Word, what you'll find is that we live in an age of demand. Everything demands of us, doesn't it? No? If it doesn't, I want to live your life. I've got demands here in church. I've got demands in my business. I've got demands at home. No. No. My wife is the list queen. She loves lists. Lists make her happy. Lists make me sad. All right? Do you know, this morning I was up. I went and I walked the dog dead early. Right? Well, not dead early, about 8 o'clock. Walked the dog. And, you know, came back. And I think the girls and stuff had their cups of tea. And I thought, I'm going to make myself my tea, because that would be really good. And I sat down, and I'd only one mouthful. And Penny was walking through the kitchen with a basket of washing or something, was it? And she went, do you know, I could save you lots of time today. And I was like, I don't want you to save me lots of time. I want you to go away and leave me alone, all right, while I drink my tea. And she went, but out of interest, I said, well, how could you save me time? She went, just give me your phone, and then you'll have more time to do things. And I was like, oh, Jesus. I said, it's not time for you to go to church yet, love. Get my headpiece. But there's demands everywhere. I'm only joking. I'm actually only half joking. You need to pray for me. Isn't that right? Say nothing. But it's funny that the life is full of demands. And what we're going to see, I'm going to talk to you today about this picture of Jesus being an ox. And because the whole book of Luke is, you know, you see it through the lens of Jesus' work, his finished work. And what you're going to see is in every interaction that the Lord has with his people, what he does is he comes and he lifts demands off your shoulders. He takes the weight and he takes the burden from you so that you can live freely. And every story in this gospel is about that. Every interaction, every picture we see of Jesus, when we look at him, it's all about you looking and learning to walk in this, I'm going to talk about it now, to walk in this rhythm of grace with him. And so whatever your demand is today, it might be work, it might be kids, it might be future, it might be health, whatever it is, if your heart is open, and that is a key, because I'm going to preach well today, you know, because I normally do. I'm just going to be honest with you. I normally preach a good message, let's be honest, don't I? Okay, well, one person thinks. So, well, in my world, I think I preach a great message, right? But the truth of it is, you've got to open your heart and go, Lord, am I open and willing this morning to receive your word? Because he's not going to force it on you. Do you get that? You can sit here and go, as I often say, put the chicken in the oven. Did I leave the iron on? And that's fine. Your mind will wander. But if your heart is open to say, Lord, every time the Lord brings good seed into your life, it will bear fruit. He watches over his word. His word says to perform it. And so right now, I want to really encourage you, press in to what the word says, because it says in 1 Peter 1:13, this has been our signature verse. It's not from the book of Luke, but I've been sitting on this verse, you know, myself so far in 2022. Therefore, preparing your mind for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully, where? On the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So where are in these days, where is the Lord sending you? Put your hope fully in this. Because the truth of it is, we have our hope in lots of different things. We have a wee bit of hope here and a wee bit of hope there. And it might be my boss, it might be this, it might be whatever, it might be my savings, it might be my pension, it might be my abilities. We have bits of our hope everywhere. We scatter our hope. It's more scattered than the unionist vote in Northern Ireland. Boom, boom, there's a politician. Come on. Stay away from politics. And so the thing is, right? But it is. It's so fractured, right? And so the thing is, the Lord says, can I show you a way to live and a way to walk, which is where you put your hope fully on what you see in Jesus? And as we look at Jesus every week for the next number of weeks, we're going to see in all the big areas of our lives, all the things that cause us stress, all the things that cause us worry, all the things that weigh us down, he comes along and the pictures are there for us to see of him just lifting the weight off. Amen? Does that sound good? And so that's what we're going to look at, because the more that Jesus is revealed in your life, the more hope that you have. You don't need good principles. Good principles that are based on what you do and are rooted in your effort will not work. You'll do them for a while and then you'll fail. Good principles based on the Word of God, which is actually looking at Jesus. Remember, keeping your eyes on Jesus, receiving grace upon grace every day will bear fruit in your life. Looking at the finished work. Okay, and so that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to start today. So let's get stuck into it. This whole thing of an ox is really interesting for me. All right. Do you know the way I have a wee secret desire to own a farm? Does anyone know that? Have I not said that to you before? So I watched Jeremy Clarkson's, what do you call it, The Farm, and I thought, that's me. I am equally as rubbish as he is. I have no clue about farming, but you know, I said to Penny, but it's kind of my style. I'm like, I could do that. Like, couldn't be that hard, could it? Like, seriously. And he's making a mess of it. And then we watched that other one. What do you call the guy who owns Strictly? Calvin. You know the one I mean? Good-looking fit lad, like myself. And he bought a farm as well. I'm like, I could do this. This is brilliant. I could be a culture. Nothing to it, all right? Bootcut jeans, brown boots, check shirt and a tractor. How hard could it be? You know what I mean? And so I have this thing about, you know, particularly in the picture that we're going to see, because it's this picture of an ox. The Gospel of Luke, Jesus is represented as an ox. And I want to talk about that today, because an ox is one which has two big things that I want to talk about. It's the perfect sacrifice that leads to a life of rest. So whenever we come to the Word, if you know that you have a perfect sacrifice, it will lead you to a life of rest. So let's look at that, because it says in Matthew 11, let me dump into another gospel, 28 to 30 in the Message version. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Are you burned out on trying and doing your best and doing your bit? Well, get away with me, the Lord says, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Now listen to this, and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace, because I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Isn't that lovely? All right? I'll show you how to take a real rest. This is not sitting around, you know, as I say, listening to Chris Tomlin music every day, going, oh, the Lord will do it. It's fantastic. This rest is actually starts on the inside. It's a posture. Rest is not laziness. Rest is not doing nothing, but rest is an inward posture of trust and dependence on God. And trusting God for the outcome in your life and not carrying the weight and the burden of that outcome. That's what real rest looks like. And I'm going to talk about that next week. He says, listen to this. Now, this is interesting. Walk with me. I'm going to unpack this, but work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Isn't it funny sometimes that we can hear the message of grace and then think, right, and you kind of force it? Anyone? I'm really going to press into Jesus. You know, and you kind of scooch, you know, it's like this grace thing. I'm going to go as full on into grace as I did with religion, but it's about what I'm doing with what grace has done, you know? Instead of just always keeping Jesus at the center, there's an unforced rhythm of grace. And the Lord says he doesn't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Walk with me, the Lord says, and work with me. Jesus is the burden remover. So let's have a look at this first. You know, it's the ox was for people with money, all right? So the ox was the highest in all the Old Testament offerings. What they had to do is they had to bring lots of offerings, and you see them all listed out. And the burnt offering and the sin offering are really quite similar. One is for acts of sin, one is for the state of sin, essentially, right? And all of these sacrifices had to be made continually in the Old Testament. Now, let me just unpack some of it for you, because the highest sacrifice that you could bring in those days to atone for your mess was an ox. So if the best that you could offer. And so the ox became a symbol of sacrifice, of strength, and of power, because of the work that it did, but also the fact that it was held in the highest esteem. Like, you could bring a goat, you could bring a lamb, that was fine. And you know, the whole way through, like, depending on your social standing or how much money you had, you could end up bringing small things to sacrifice. But like, the very best of the very best was the ox. And there were so many of these, so many times in the Bible we read about, you know, how they would bring the ox to be sacrificed. You know, I don't know if you've ever looked at it, because it's in the book of Leviticus. Some of you don't even read the gospel, so Leviticus is probably a big stretch, to be fair. Do you know what I mean? Leviticus what? I thought he played for Chelsea on the wing, right? Like, so in the book of Leviticus, and when you see grace in this, it's unbelievable. Because when I start to look at it, I didn't actually realize this until I read it. And I started to look at it, and the Lord said, look again, Andrew, look again. And so I looked again. And what's interesting, because I was thinking about sacrifice, because in order for you to live in rest and to have your burdens removed, somebody's got to pay the price. Do you get that? The rest only comes as a result of the price that is paid. And so whenever I started to look at it, you can read this for yourself. It's actually in Leviticus. But there are seven steps, okay? Seven steps to a perfect sacrifice. And they're actually listed in the book of Leviticus. I think it's Leviticus 3. And so what do we know that, what do we know that seven is the number of? Perfection or completeness, isn't that right? There is not a detail wasted in the Word of God. So let me show you quickly for this ox as a picture of sacrifice, first and foremost. Now, number one, here's the seven things that make Jesus' sacrifice for you perfect and complete. And you saw it in the process of how he was offered. Number one, the sacrifice had to be without defect. We know that. You can't pawn God off with some kind of substandard offering. He wouldn't have taken it. And so number one, the sacrifice has to be absolutely perfect, has to be without defect. It is expensive for the worshiper to bring it. You know, you're bringing an ox. Those things were big money. They did a lot of work and they provided an awful lot. And for you to bring that sacrifice, it cost a lot. And so what it's saying is, actually underpinning it, is sin is costly and it needs a big price to be paid for it. And so what we see here is Jesus as the ox is, number one, the perfect sacrifice. It cost God something. Do you know that? Sometimes we're so blasé with what it cost God to come here for us, and to give his life, and to pour out his life, and to go to the cross for us. It cost him. Number two, what happens in the second stage was this animal is brought forward, and then the offerer, that's you or me, we lay our hands on the head of the animal. So as you know this, Leviticus 16, what happens is laying on of hands, when we laid on the hands on the animal, it was accompanied by a confession of our sin, and involves imparting our sin into the animal, and so asking God to accept this substitute on our behalf. And so it's the basis for if you're dead fancy, it's called substitutionary atonement, all right? Somebody else taking your place. And in this case, what happens is we're asking God to accept the death of a lesser here, the ox, for a greater. But in Jesus, what we see is God takes the greater as a sacrifice for the lesser. The third step is this. The offerer, us, we then offer the animal for slaughter. It's interesting, the priest doesn't do the killing. You know, it's what happens here is it's in the hands of the sinner to do the killing. Why was that? It's a reminder of our rebellion against God. So actually, it's our sin that put him there. We don't get away with, here's a nice sweet thing, will you just deal with it? We were continually reminded, actually, whenever your sin is now it has to die because the animal's guilty. So I'm going to cut its throat. We should have done this. This would have been a great, remember, this would have been a great one for kids' church, wasn't it? So we're going to slaughter this here goat that I brought in or whatever. Like, get the bowl ready. That'd be hilarious, wouldn't it? Walking through with an ox. But the point is, the offerer slaughters the animal. Right? So it's you being reminded, your sin, you pay it, right? Like, you do the cutting. Step number three. Step number four is this. The priest collects the blood, and what he does is he then takes it to the altar. So the animal's killed by slitting its throat. The priest basically holds a basin underneath and all the blood pours out. And then he sprinkles it on the altar to make atonement. That's what it says in Leviticus 17. For the life of a creature is in the blood. Remember, it says in the word that there is no sacrifice for sins without the shedding of blood. And I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Then, number five, the offer. Actually, what happens now is what's left with it, the body. The body's skinned. And you skin it, and it's cut into pieces, basically. It's really gory. Like, sometimes I think we kind of... Do you know why we get all our meat and stuff in, like, packaged things? It's all really nice, you know. And last night I was cooking our steak night, as I normally do on Saturday night, just drop that in. And Sophie walked past and she went, like, it was just two bits of steak sitting on a plate, right? She was like, oh my goodness, it's full of blood. And I was like, it's not really, you know what I mean? And because I was thinking about my talk, I was going, like, this is gory stuff, right? You had to get up close and personal with the process, and it wasn't pretty. Cutting to pieces, like, you would have been covered in it, basically. Number six, the priest then takes these bits and he places them on the altar. He arranges the wood so it can be burnt. Remember, I said this is what happens on the east side of the tabernacle in the big altar. And then the last thing, number seven, is that the sacrifice is completely consumed on the altar. Now, it's interesting, in the burnt offering, none of it went to the priest, not like the sin offering. Everything here is offered up to God on behalf of the sinner. You know what I love about, what does that mean? I geek out on the Bible stuff, but let me tell you what it means for you today. It's like right hardwired into the very thing that men did in religion was a picture of Jesus' perfect sacrifice already hidden in there. They just had a glimpse of it, but they were waiting on one who would come, and he would be the ultimate sacrifice for them, the one for you and for me. And the process of offering that something for our sin is perfect. There was nothing more added in to this process. And it's the same process that Jesus went through for you and for me. Coming perfect, taking our sin upon himself, being offered up, his blood being poured out, his body being broken and smashed and then consumed, and then him rising again from death itself. And he did that. It was a perfect sacrifice every single time. And that's why it says in Hebrews 10:4, I mean, are you tired of this stuff? Are you tired of religion? Are you tired of doing this time and time and time again, making amends, never being right, always feeling like you're going back to zero? Because what it says here in Hebrews 10:4 is every priest does that daily at a service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Isn't it crazy? But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. His offering for you, the sacrifice of Jesus, this ox, your heavenly ox, was perfect and complete for you. Amen. Let me tell you something. Don't ever get bored with that message. Don't be blasé about it and go, yeah, whatever, I've heard that. That is the most striking message that we can hear at any point of our lives on any particular day. That all of our mess, all of our messing up, our past, our present, and all the dysfunction has already been taken care of by one supreme sacrifice, and it was perfect, and it was complete, and it will be for all time for you. Now, the implications of that are incredible. It's from that place of perfect sacrifice do we get to live the life of rest that Jesus promised us. Because without the sacrifice of the ox, our heavenly ox, Jesus, there would be no way to live a life of the unforced rhythms of grace. Why? Because there would always be a price to be paid. And so what I would encourage you to do this week is not to ever go past. Sometimes the best thing that you can do is to sit and just dwell on the fact that you are loved. You know, sometimes I think, you know, sometimes I sit in here upstairs in my office and I take communion and I sit, and sometimes I'm rushing from one thing to the next. But most often what I do is I sit in my chair up there, not all day, but at the start of the day, and I just meditate on the fact that I am loved. I meditate on the fact that Jesus has paid for me. I remind myself at the start of this day, right? When I'm getting into my work, that he has already gone before me to prepare good favor for me. That I am not walking into a life of challenge and difficulty, but from a heart of rest, everything that I put my hands to is going to be prospered and blessed and multiplied. I'm going to see the favor of God. I'm going to see the completeness of God. Why? Because a perfect sacrifice was made for me. Amen? And I sit there and I just sometimes kind of reflect on God's goodness to me, God's love to me. And it's so simple, but it keeps me focused. And I want to encourage you to do it. When was the last time you started any one of your days with just simply reflecting on God's love and God's goodness for you? Or is it somewhere like about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when it's all going Pete Tong? And you go, Jesus, where are you? Flip sake. Because we get up, we get at it, we get busy, we get moving. Isn't that right? And the Lord says, hold on. Look at me in the way I do it. Walk with me, watch me, and learn from me. And I'll show you how to live freely. I'll show you how to live free of burden, free of weight, free of worry, free of lack, free of sickness, free of depression. I'll show you how to live that way. But you got to watch me and walk with me. And that is that okay? He's listening okay? Because you don't get one without the other. And so every day, that's why we preach Jesus week in, week out. That's why we want to see lives transformed by grace, because it puts Jesus at the very center. And I just love the way the Lord buries those details. You know, Leviticus, so it's just this perfect picture of completion. This process that was just a pointer towards the heavenly ox that would come, Jesus himself. The process is perfect and it's complete. And one sacrifice was enough for all of us forever. Amen? And so what we're going to, that's just like the foundation, right? Because it's that ultimate burden that he took on himself was our sin and our mess. He bore it, carried it, and then he perfected you. He made you righteous. And from that place, you know, this is what it says in Matthew. Don't go back under the rules whenever you've been set free from them. It kind of doesn't make sense, does it? Like if somebody came and offered you the opportunity, right, and said, Joe, what is it that's really bothering you in your life right now? Well, it's, I just can't get breakthrough in my money, right, or whatever. Well, like, I've got this. Do you know what I'm amazed at? Every time I go on Instagram, right, it's full of people selling you get-rich-quick schemes. Have you ever noticed that? Facebook, these complete randomers, right, in their bedrooms going, here's my four-point plan to make $5 squillion, $5 billion before the end of the month. And you're going, you're a spoofer, mate. That's what I think anyway, you know. Or we're having this conversation with our Ben because he was going like, see this guy, that, like he's a multi-squillionaire. And I'm going, Ben, he borrowed that car. It's not his, right? You know all these people, you know, I laugh at all the women in the dresses, right, against a Range Rover. Follow my plan and you can look like me. No, thank you. You're spiffing, right? But you know what? What it shows us is that people buy that nonsense. Do you get me? And Christians sometimes are no different. We buy into a worldly system that promises everything, right, in return for very little. And we have Jesus, the King of Kings, who lives on the inside of us. The perfect sacrifice, having paid every demand that was stood against you. And he says, if you just watch me and walk with me, you'll live freely. Isn't that incredible? Just watch me. Don't watch that. Get your attention up off the get-rich-quick schemes. Get your attention off yourself and what you need to do. He says it clearly. You'll learn the unforced rhythms of grace when you watch me, walk with me, and then work with me. And I kind of go, flipping, Nora. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus from the mountains. But see, your man, look at he did in a month. Flip me. Keep saying to Ben, like, wise up, son. Go, nah, Dad, you just don't understand it. Like, seriously, this guy's 19 and he's worth 15 trillion. No, he's not. He just made it up for Instagram to get suckers like you to buy his course for $300. So how he makes his money is pretending. Do you get me? If you haven't seen this stuff online, you should go and look at it. It'll make you puke, honestly. Sorry, it's too strong, but there you go. So let me show you then from the ox then being the one who's the perfect sacrifice. How do we then learn these unforced rhythms of grace? Because it's from that place of sacrifice, it says he sat down at the right hand, the place of authority. So Jesus this morning in your life, if you allow him, will be the final authority on anything that comes against you. If you allow him, he will be the final authority because that's his place. And he says, walk with me and work with me. Watch and learn these unforced rhythms of grace. Now, what was he talking about? The language is really interesting here. It's agricultural language, actually, if you go right back to it. Because, like I said, the ox was the strongest animal around. It was the harvesting animal. So they used it, for harvest. And without the strength of the ox, there would be no harvest. Let me just say that again. Without the strength of the ox, there was no harvest. Think about that for your own. I don't need to explain that out, do you? You all got that? It's the strength of the ox that brings in the harvest. It would have taken loads of donkeys, loads of horses, and loads of men to do. The ox did it really simply, really quickly, and really much more easily. It was the animal that's used in harvest. Harvest is where you're bringing in all the fruit and all the goodness. And it was trained by using what's called a training yoke. Now, if we could just show the picture here, hopefully I put a picture up. So if you look here, this is a training yoke. So when Jesus says, watch me and learn from me, right? Now, Jesus was a carpenter, remember? He would have made loads of these things. And this is what he was talking about. Sometimes we actually have to see it really clearly, and then we kind of go, here, that's brilliant, all right? Because he wasn't just using poetic language like, oh, right? He was actually going, you know these things you see every day? Watch me and learn from me. Because this is what was put around the neck of a young ox. Take that as you and me learning from an older one. How do we learn to walk together? What does that look like? Well, they would have had these all over the place. So what happened is it's a heavy wooden beam or a harness, and it goes right across the shoulders, across the back and the shoulders of the ox. It was made of wood, right? Now, test your Bible knowledge. What is wood a symbol of in the Word? Does anyone know? Humankind. So you'll see wood. You see in the tabernacle, what you have is you have wood, which is overlaid with gold. So it speaks of man's humanity overlaid with righteousness, right? And so wood, anytime you see wood, it is about man's humanity. And so what we have is this training yoke. Now, these yokes were made for a specific purpose. So what you'd have, you'd have a young ox, say you and me, they're brought into the field or the paddock or whatever it is, and they were paired alongside a more experienced or an older ox. Now, these things were normally attached to a cart or a plow or a piece of equipment. And what happened is the two would walk together, and behind it, all the work would happen. You get me? All the plowing would go on. And that was hard work. You know what? I watched, Mark Donnelly here, some of you know in church, is a gardener and a very good one, landscapey type stuff. And he came to help us in our garden to rotivate, And I even noticed, he even needed my help. There he is, an experienced man. I had to say, Mark, step aside, my friend. All right? You're doing that wrong. Because it's quite hard. This thing just digs a wee bit in, and like, God love him. Look at all the size of him. He could hardly lift it. So I said, Mark, stand aside and I'll show you how this is done, pal. So I started to dig it. This thing had an engine. You don't believe me. That's exactly what happened, all right? And so we started to rotivate our garden, and it's flipping hard work. Like, really hard. And this thing has a petrol or diesel, whatever it is, engine on it, all right? And I'm only kidding. Mark did all the work, and I just walk behind him, like the young ox, really. And we talked, but even in those, I thought, this is flipping, this is a nightmare. Like, I was knackered, my shoulders, my arms, everything, It's hard, when you're an elite athlete, the slightest thing just knocks you off. You need to be careful, everything's so well in tune. And there was me trying to rotivate my own garden, and it was a complete disaster. That's why I had him with me. And so what happens is they go down deep into the soil. I guess what the Lord's trying to say is sometimes life is really tough. Can we just say that? It's not always easy. There's flipping challenges, isn't there? Sometimes we get up and we could see it all far enough. Anyone? Or is that just me? You go, oh, Monday. And you're like, oh, for flip's sake. Anyone? Or you like my missus? It's Monday. I've got a list for you. Brilliant. Here's 10 things to do before you even go and have a pee. Just get those done first. Jesus, come back. right now, Lord, rapture. But I guess what he's trying to say is that sometimes digging is hard. And you know what? The whole thing of the plow is interesting because the field, right? Those fields were big. And it's not just like doing a wee bit of a vegetable patch. The whole point was you're going from here the whole way up there. And they didn't kind of mark out their fields. It were just massive, big fields and kind of went up by that far. And then that was your field. But essentially, it was just this picture of every day doing this, right? And you've got, and you're just looking, you're going, flip me. If we're going to have any fruit, I've got to keep going forward, keep digging. And it was exhausting, back-breaking work. I know what that feels like at times. Absolutely exhausting. So look at this. I need to go quick. So what happens is this, that's the picture of going deep into the dirt, deep into the ground, right? And just dragging this big thing along. So this yoke, what it did was it tied the oxen together, right? And what would happen is, this was the really smart thing about it. Unless you know this stuff, right? From the outside, it doesn't actually explain what's really going on to the untrained eye. Because it was this yoke that carried all the large, heavy equipment, that tedious, tiring work. And it was specifically designed for an ox. You couldn't put it on anything else. It had to be carried by an ox. Why? Because there's endurance and power in the ox that nothing else has. And so there was a work designed, something designed for the ox that could only fit the ox. Do you get that? The condition that you and I found ourselves in, there was only one who could ever carry it. His name was Jesus. Nothing else could. Nothing else was, you know, I'm not going to say Jesus was designed for, but Jesus was the only one who could answer the questions and the challenges that you and I face. That's the point. And so also the ox is in for like the long haul, the enduring work. But here's what's really interesting. You put this young ox in the, you know, this is us learning to walk with, right? You put the young ox and you put the old ox together. The way that the yokes are designed is that most of the weight, okay, in fact, nearly all of the weight would be placed on the shoulders of the older ox. So actually what happened is, even though you look at it, when the oxes were in training, it's the older ox who carried the weight and the younger ox just went for a walk. Isn't that incredible? So Jesus is using this picture when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It wasn't just, oh, that sounds lovely. I've no idea what that means. He's saying, look out in those fields and look how those oxes are being trained, right? One, it looks like they're walking together, right? But actually what's happening is the older ox is carrying all of the burden and the younger ox is just learning to walk alongside. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Somebody help me out. So what happens here is that the younger ox just simply learns. Can we show the picture? Would that be okay? That's a picture right there of two oxes. Right. If you're wondering what's the difference between an ox and a bull, an ox has been castrated. Somebody asked me that. I don't want to get into that, but chop. And so that's what an oxen did, and they put it to work. But essentially they're the same thing. Just anyway, move on. I'm digging myself into a big hole right there, right? But have a look. Have a look at what do you see that joins? You see the crossbar, the yoke, and then you see the big piece of wood plowing the ground, okay? And there's lots of people who have studied this out and say it's a picture of the cross. It's a picture of the cross. What are we grafted into and joined with, to the finished work of Jesus. And we walk our lives in step with the one who carries the burden for us. Isn't that beautiful? I've reminded myself of that so many times this week. You know, when I think about my business, it's interesting, I've got a business as well, right? And that kind of stuff, and you go, flip, what about, you know, work coming forward, and you look into the future and all that kind of stuff, and the Lord comes alongside and goes, just walk with me, will you? Just today, just walk with me. I've already gone to prepare favor and goodness and wholeness for you. What I ask of you today is let me shoulder that burden and just walk with me today. And what happens is the young ox, this is where, if I go back to Matthew chapter 11, it says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. See, so what would happen is the young ox at times would be walking along, and if you want to read this stuff out or go and study, it is actually really interesting. So they stop, the old oxes apparently at times would just stop. And what happens when the old ox stops? What does the young one have to do? Stop. The young ox probably doesn't understand why the old ox is stopping right now. But what they quickly learn is, if he stops, I stop. Where he goes, I go. Because it would be impossible what we do. Let me give you an example. Let me give some application for this. All right? It's the fact that in our own worlds, let's take provision and money, because it's a biggie, cost of living and all that sort of stuff. One of the first things that people will do will be jettison giving, as an example. Now, all you've done there, if you do that in your life, is you've gone, I'm walking with Jesus. I'm gonna try and go this way. So Jesus says, I'm leading you this way. Walk with me, watch for me, and learn from me. And you go, nah, I want to go that way. Does it work? It doesn't work, does it? We've got to learn to listen to the Lord, be in step with the Lord, and walk the way the Lord shows us. Because as soon as we start to pull to the left, actually, there's something that goes, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You know, you have to just learn to stay in step with. What is the Lord saying to you? What is he speaking to you? Are you in step with that? Because that's where you live freely. And what's happening is that the ox's view, right, is all the work's getting done. Do you see that? As they walk along, the ground is being tilled. The heavy work is being done. And all that's required of the young ox is just simply to walk. Just walk alongside. Notice the ox doesn't get to lie on the edge of the field and go, ah, you're all right. Look at that big ox just doing all the work. He walks with Jesus. Grace doesn't make you lazy, is what I'm trying to say. I get to walk with Jesus, do what Jesus does, stay in step with Jesus, and before I know it, my field is plowed. And what happens there, if you read Proverbs 14:4, it says, where there's no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by what? The strength of the ox. It's not a class saying. Abundant crops, abundance and blessing in your life comes from what? Your strength, your effort, your ability, you figuring it out yourself. No, it comes by the strength of the ox who is bearing the weight and the burden for you. That's why in this Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus saying, watch from me, learn from me, look at what I do. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace and you'll find every burden being lifted from you. I actually quite like it. How do I feel about that this morning? Is that a bit wet? Because you're all just sitting looking at me, quite frankly. That's where I even doubt if I'm a Christian. You know, where you go, seriously. Don't go your own way. Can I just finish by saying this? You can't move the plow on your own. That's the point. The young ox cannot move the plow on your own. You cannot move the plow of provision, healing, safety, security, future on your own. So stop trying to do it. You will live frustrated. You will see no fruit because the abundance of crops comes from the strength of the ox. Watch and learn, walk with him. At times you will not understand why he's going that way. I know in my life particularly, you know, I'm kind of captivated by the cost of living stuff right now, because I kind of go, if ever there was a time to sow and to be generous, it's in a time when the world says that there's famine, right? Absolutely. I just, you know, the principle in the Word of God is clear. So in a time of famine, you see a much bigger return. And I think that because we're not subject to the things of the world, you know, Jesus is not subject to any economy or any financial system. He sits above it all. And he just goes, you keep your eye on me and walk with me. Holy smokes, you're going to see incredible things. You'll never move that plow on your own. It's impossible. You might say even this morning, I want to do great things. But you'll never do it on your own. It's just too hard. In the direction that he goes, in terms of money, as an example, walk with him on that, and you'll see an abundance of crops. That's what he's saying. That's as an example. If it comes to, if he says give, then give. If he says rest, then rest. Go where he says. Because all the time that you are yoked to your heavenly ox, Jesus, the work is already done. You know, it's like, it's not just in that area either. You know, safety, future, hope, you know. Anytime you start to try to go your own way, the weight of that plow is unbearable. You know, young oxes, if they try to pull or if they try to put all the weight of that plow onto the young ox, it would buckle the ox. They weren't capable of it. And so for years, they just walked in training until the time came when they were mature, right? So let me just finish with that. I think, you know, that's how I want to set up. I want to set up this Luke series. We're going to look at provision. We're going to look at giving. We're going to look at health. We're going to look at healing. We're going to look at future. We're going to look at all of these things through this series. And I want you to understand, I want you to have the picture of in every single one of those images, Jesus is saying, I've come to take it off you. Watch me, learn from me, walk with me, and work with me, right? In your life, whatever your area is, whatever your burden is, whatever your weight is, Jesus says to you today, I have come that you can live freely and you can live in hope. Not being sort of just, yeah, Jesus, this is fantastic, but at the end of the day, tomorrow morning, come Monday, I've got to do it all myself. Stop going your own way and learn to just walk in step with the one who carries the weight. His name's Jesus. Amen.